Hi everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. As usual, all of the latest J2 and J3 news is coming your way shortly. I'm John Steele, hosting part one, and before we get down to business, it's a very busy week of J2 action coming up this week. There's a full midweek round of games, round 9, coming up on Wednesday night. With that in mind, I got together with James Taylor and we decided that we are going to skip having a guest kind of chat segment on the pod this week. That's just with the goal of getting our weekend review out in good time. So you're going to hear me rounding up some of the action from Saturday in J2. James in part 2 has the rest of the games from J2, and then in part 3, as usual, Magic Mike Innes is on hand. He has all the J3 news for you in the JTalk short corner mini pod. Without further ado then, let's get to some action on the pitch. Before we talk about J2 though, I'll very quickly mention from last midweek, Wednesday, April the 5th, there were two games involving J2 sides in the Lavan Cup, where the interminable group stage has reached round 3. Now, Tadahiro Akiba's first game in charge at Shimizu ended with a 3-0 defeat away at Shonan, with goals from Akito Suzuki and a brace from Naoki Yamada. Shimizu are still in with a chance of making it to the knockout stage. They're second in their group at the halfway point with one win, one draw and one defeat. Meanwhile, Iwata went down to their third defeat in 3 Lavan Cup games this season, this time 2-1 at home to Tosu. Kenyan defender Anthony Akumu headed Tosu into a 6th-minute lead, but 9 minutes from full-time, Iwata equalised thanks to a left-footed thunderbolt from Daiki Ogawa, a fierce drive from about 25 yards that arrowed into the top corner. Tosu won it, though, with their second goal just 5 minutes after Ogawa's equaliser. Half-time substitute Ryunosuke Kabayama, well-known to JTET listeners from his time at Yamagata, I think, converting a left-wing cross unmarked at the far post. So it finished Iwata 1, Tosu 2. With 0 points from 3 matches, there's not much chance of Iwata reaching the next round of the competition. Okay, let's move on to some J2 action then, and round 8 took place over the weekend. We're going to start with the early kickoff from Saturday, where it finished Kofu 0, Sendai 3. Akira Ito having a very happy return to his former club as a rampant Sendai took the points in very windy conditions up in Yamanashi. Early on, Sendai pinned Kofu back in their own half and had plenty of chances. They eventually took the lead in the 25th minute. A left-wing cross from Yosuke Akiyama took a deflection on its way through to Motohiko Nakajima, but he was still able to adjust his feet and side-foot the ball past Kohei Kawata for 1-0. Just after that, Peter Utaka missed a golden chance to equalise for Kofu when he fired the ball against the crossbar from about 6 yards out, with the goal completely at his mercy. This was after a corner kick had caused some chaos in the Sendai penalty area. But Sendai scored their second goal in stoppage time at the end of the first half with a perfectly executed counter-attack. Nakajima's through ball was expertly timed for Hiroto Yamada to race clean through and confidently sweep the ball past Kawata. And Sendai made the point safe with a third goal 6 minutes into the second half. Masahiro Sugata was able to get a header onto a corner which was heading goalwards, but the ball hit Yuta Goke and then went in off the post despite the presence of Utaka on the goal line. And yeah, it was a comfortable win for Sendai in the end. It finished Kofu 0, Sendai 3. So Kofu's run of 4 straight victories was ended in spectacular fashion by Sendai, who got their first win in 3 matches. And at the moment in the standings, Kofu are in 6th. And Sendai 10th. Elsewhere on Saturday, there was another impressive win for Oita Trinita. They moved joint top of the table. This is after Matsuda's home defeat against Akita, which James is going to talk about in a moment. On Saturday, the final score was Iwaki 1, Oita 3. And this game was really all about Oita's captain, Naoki Nomura. He hit the crossbar from the edge of the penalty area inside the very first minute as the visitors signalled their intent in this game. And just 6 minutes later, Nomura was the provider for Oita's opening goal. His left wing cross was turned in at the near post by Hiroto Nakagawa. This game was in the balance really until Oita scored twice in about 3 minutes midway through the second half. In the 65th minute, Nomura popped up on the right wing during a well-constructed Oita attack, and his cross was inch-perfect for Masaki Yumiba to power a header past Iwaki's goalkeeper, Toru Takagiwa. And then, 3 minutes later, Takagiwa made a critical mistake. He was far too casual in possession, and he passed the ball straight to Oita striker Kohei Isa. Isa fed Nomura, who then went round the hapless Iwaki goalkeeper and rolled in the third goal very easily. So that kind of sealed the game, but Oita made a defensive mistake of their own to allow Iwaki to pull a goal back with 9 minutes of the game left. Oita centre-back Katsunori Uebisu didn't seem to realise that his goalkeeper, Konosuke Nishikawa, had come off his line to deal with a long ball from the Iwaki defence, and Uebisu ended up chesting the ball past Nishikawa and into the path of substitute striker Yoshihito Kondo, and he was able to pass the ball into an unguarded net. But yeah, it was just a consolation goal for Iwaki. It finished Iwaki 1, Oita 3. A sixth win of the season for Oita. Incredible stuff from them, as we mention every week at the moment. Iwaki are in 17th place in the table. They have 8 points from their 8 games so far. And yes, if commentators like me are having to reassess their pre-season opinions on Oita, there's another side who are being reassessed as well. It's Gunma. They won again at the weekend, this time 1-0 at home to Nagasaki. And Gunma kind of slowing down Nagasaki's recent revival thanks to a very well-worked goal 10 minutes before half-time. The final score was Gunma 1, Nagasaki 0. For the goal, Chie Edo-John Kawakami did brilliantly out on the left to send a low cross into the Nagasaki box. Ryo Sato got on the end of that cross. His initial shot was blocked by Nagasaki defender Kaike, but the ball ran loose and Sato was able to stab the follow-up past the Nagasaki keeper Go Hatano for what proved to be the vital goal. I think overall this game was quite even. There were chances for both sides. Nagasaki were feeling lucky that they didn't get any points, I think. Gunma, incredibly, are up in 5th place in the table. This was a 3rd straight win for them, and it's 4 wins in 5 for them now. Nagasaki went into this one on a run of 3 straight wins, which was obviously ended here, but they're in 12th place at the moment. And again, the final score was Gunma 1, Nagasaki 0. At the NAC 5 stadium, Yamagata have changed their manager, but they weren't able to change their luck. They went down to a 6th straight defeat. The final score was Omiya 2, Yamagata 1. Just 7 minutes on the clock when Omiya went in front in this game, some intricate passing inside the Yamagata penalty area ended with the unmarked Rikiya Motegi sweeping the ball past Masaaki Goto in the Yamagata goal from close range. Yamagata did pull level though before half-time. In the 39th minute, De La Torre set up Thiago Alves and he swept the ball home from around 12 yards on a counter-attack. De La Torre, by the way, had come on as an early sub in this game after Yoshiki Fujimoto had to go off injured. But Omiya are very strong at home this season and luck doesn't seem to be on Yamagata's side, and the away team conceded a penalty 9 minutes from the end which proved to be the winner for the Squirrels. When Masato Kojima burst into the Yamagata box, he was pushed over by centre-back Hiroki Noda for the spot kick, and Masahiro Shibayama stepped up to tuck away the penalty, just about squeezed the ball past Goto, who managed to get both hands on it but couldn't keep it out. So the final score at NAC 5 was Omiya 2, Yamagata 1. Yamagata stay in 20th place. They only have 6 points from their 8 matches so far. Meanwhile, Omiya, they'll be delighted to have won this game because they had their kind of first choice forwards, Angelotti and Seiya Nakano, both out with injury. And I think that's going to be the case for the next few weeks. Omiya are 7th in the table, and their season can be boiled down quite easily, really. 4 home wins out of 4. 4 away defeats out of 4. So home are definitely where the heart is for Naoki Soma's men. There was plenty of drama as the bottom two sides went head-to-head at the Fukuda Denshi Arena. The match finished Jeff Chiba 2, Tokushima 2. Tokushima, rock bottom going into this game, got a perfect start with a superb goal from Kazuki Nishiya early on. In the 12th minute, he cut in from the left flank and sent a dipping 25-yard effort over Shota Arai and into the net. This is the first time Tokushima have been in front in a game all season. But Jeff fought back and they equalised about 10 minutes before half-time. A long ball from Iki Arai caught out the Tokushima defence, centre-back Kaka in particular, and Hiro Komori brilliantly controlled the ball and fired it past the Tokushima keeper Hayate Tanaka for 1-1. That's 5 goals for the season for Komori, and he scored in 4 consecutive home games for Jeff. Unfortunately for him, he was injured when Tanaka made some contact with him on that goal. Komori couldn't continue, and Hiroto Goya stepped up off the bench to replace him. Goya was then involved in Jeff's second goal, 7 minutes into the second half, when Tokushima gave the ball away. Goya traded passes with Tomoyamiki and created a shooting chance on the edge of the six-yard box. Goya's shot actually hit the goalkeeper Tanaka in the face, but went in off the unfortunate Kaka for an own goal. Not his finest day at the office, you'd have to say. Tokushima did earn a point, though, thanks to a 79th minute equaliser, which was set up by Nishia, who seems to be Tokushima's answer to Naoki Nomura at Oita at the moment. Nishia got past his man out wide on the left, burst into the penalty area, and then cut the ball back for Yoichiro Kakitani to sweep home from about 12 yards. Jeff had a chance to win it right at the death after a poor defensive header presented the ball to Masaru Hidaka, but he tried a lob with kind of a difficult chance, and the ball ended up on the roof of the Tokushima net. So, they escaped with a point. It finished Jeff Chiba 2, Tokushima 2. Tokushima stay bottom of the table. They're the only team yet to win a game in J2 this season. They have just 5 points from 8 matches. Jeff stay second bottom. They're just 1 point better off. They have 6, the same as Yamagata and Tochigi. So very tight and, getting very, very difficult for those teams at the bottom early on. All right, I think that's all for me for part one of the pod this week. In a moment, you're going to hear James Taylor. He has the rest of the weekend J2 action for you, as well as a preview of the midweek round, the Wednesday night games. That's round 9. And please stay tuned after that as well, because Mike Innes has all the J3 news in J-Talk Short Corner. But thanks for listening so far, and stay tuned. Here comes James. J-Talk
Extra Time. Thanks, John. James Taylor here to take you through the rest of the weekend's action, starting at Nihon Daira, where Tadahiro Akiba took charge of Shimizu S-Pulse in the league for the first time. The visitors were high-flying Tokyo Verdy, and it was Verdy who scored first here. A bit of penalty box pinball after a short corner, and Naoki Hayashi smashed in from just inside the area with 5 minutes played. Shimizu went close on 34 minutes when Matthias saved from Takeru Kishimoto, and Kohei Yamakoshi blocked Thiago Santana's follow-up. The home side did equalise on the stroke of half-time, a minute after a goal-line clearance had denied them. Katsuhiro Nakayama laid the ball off for Kengo Kitazume to score from a tight angle. And it was joy for Shimizu in the end, as Oh Se-hun rose to head home a corner in the 90th minute to give S-Pulse their first league win. Verdy stay third. Machida Zelvia stay top, but only on goal difference, after they lost for the first time this season. An 84th minute goal from Blau Blitz Akita defender Kaito Abe gave the visitors a 1-0 win. He scored from 6 yards when a long throw had been flicked on at the near post. That goal was just reward for an Akita team that would have been feeling very wronged after an incident in the 8th minute. Shota Aoki shot from the halfway line and beat Machida keeper William Pope, who got his fingertips to the ball but not enough to prevent it going over the line. However, the referee and assistants didn't spot what seemingly was obvious, and Pope, doing his best Roy Carroll impersonation, played on as if nothing had happened. Yu Hirakawa hit the post for Machida after about half an hour, and couldn't quite set Shota Fujio up on a 3-on-1 chance with 67 minutes on the clock, as Akita's impressive defence came out on top again. They're fourth with just 2 goals conceded. Only 5 scored though, and none from their strikers. Fagiano Okayama again needed a stoppage time goal to salvage a point, this time away to Fujieda Mai FC. Fagiano took the lead after a string of early chances and corners. In the 22nd minute, Yasutaka Yanagi found plenty of space to head one in, helped enormously by obstruction from Yuri Bice and Yanagi's marker bumping into Solomon Sakuragawa and falling over. It should have been 2 a couple of minutes later, but when Sakuragawa knocked the ball down for Stefan Mork, the Australian could only head onto the bar from 4 yards. Fujieda drew level in the 75th minute through Yudai Tokunaga, who chested or stomached, I couldn't see clearly on the replay, a Keigo Enomoto cross in from close range. 2 minutes later, Mai FC went ahead. Good work again from Enomoto, whose dinked cross evaded Okayama keeper Daiki Hotta and was turned into his own goal by Bice. The Okayama captain redeemed himself somewhat in stoppage time though, steering home a left-footed volley from 15 yards to grab a point. 3 draws in a row for 9th-placed Okayama, they're just a point ahead of 14th-placed Fujieda. Reno for Yamaguchi also needed a late goal to earn a point at home to Tochigi SC. Hayato Fukushima slid in at the back post in the 40th minute to give Tochigi the lead, but for the second game in a row, they couldn't hold on to the lead, and after a second half where Yamaguchi seemed to be knocking on the door, the equaliser came from a corner in the 4th minute of stoppage time. A couple of flick-ons and Tsubasa Umeki adding the final touch. Yamaguchi are 11th, while Tochigi are 19th, still with only one win. The final game on Saturday saw Mito Hollyhock put in an abject display in front of their home supporters as they went down 5-1 to Jubilo Iwata. The away team went in front after 8 minutes and never looked back. Dudu slotted home a Masaya Matsumoto cross fairly easily after his marker gave him too much space. It was 2-0 8 minutes later. Dudu again, this time helped by a dreadful back pass by Mito's Ryosuke Maeda, who was 10 yards from his own goal in a busy penalty area and still managed to hang keeper Louis Yamaguchi out to dry. Rikia Uehara got Iwata's third in the 35th minute, benefiting from three Mito defenders backing away when he was only 8 yards from goal, allowing him to side foot past Yamaguchi. And then two goals in quick succession in the second half put the game beyond doubt. Ko Matsuhara finishing a move down the right that ended with six Mito players in the 6-yard box, none of whom stopped his shot. Then 17-year-old Keisuke Goto got his fourth of the season just a few minutes after coming on, allowed to jump unhindered to head in across from the left. 5-0 with less than an hour played. New pod favourite Shinon Teranuma scored for Mito in the 70th minute, but that did not hide the fact that this was a shambolic defensive showing by Hollyhock, who now possess the worst goals against record, no mean feat in a league that also features Zeugen Kanazawa. Speaking of Kanazawa, they were in action on Sunday afternoon, away to Ruasu Kumamoto at the Egao Stadium, and it was the home side who were smiling in the end as they were 3-1 winners. Kanazawa's Masamichi Hayashi had a good chance midway through the first half, winning possession on the edge of the Kumamoto box and passing to Takayoshi Ishihara, who squared back to Hayashi, but the striker's side-footed effort from 12 yards hit the bar. Ruasu took the lead in the 42nd minute through Daichi Ishikawa, who was given too much time and space by the Kanazawa defence to compose himself and shoot past Yuto Shirai. Kanazawa equalised, the first time they've managed that after conceding first in 5 games this year, Junya Kato volleying in from 12 yards after some head tennis. 1-1 at half-time, but two quick goals won it for Kumamoto, the first from a corner which seemed to deceive Shirai in the flight, so he could only knock it down to give Takuro Ezaki an easy finish. And then 2 minutes later, an own goal by Yuki Kajiura, who was overpowered by an opponent and was forced to head it into his own net. Kanazawa substitutes Kyohei Sugiura and Shintaro Shimada both force saves from Kumamoto's Ryuga Tashiro, and Ruasu move up to 11th, while Kanazawa drop one place to 15th. There's a full round of fixtures on Wednesday the 12th, including big ones at both ends of the table. 19th place Tochigi SC, winless in 3, take on 20th place Monterio Yamagata, who've lost their last 6. 3rd place 4th at Ajinomoto Stadium as Tokyo Verdy play Blaublitz Akita in a battle between two of the league's stingiest defences. Omiya Ardija look to maintain their perfect home record and move above their opponents, Zaspa Kasats Gunma. Kanazawa take on Iwaki, while Shimizu will want to taste victory again when they play Vegata Sendai. Jubilo Iwata play league leaders Machida Zelvia. Fujieda Mai FC welcome 21st place Jeff United Chiba. Fagiano Okayama take on Ruasu Kumamoto. Divara Nagasaki play Vanfore Kofu. 2nd place Oita Trinita are at home to neighbours Rinofa Yamaguchi. And bottom club Tokushima Vortis will hope for more of the same from Mito Hollyhock's defence. All the games kick off at 7 p.m. Japan time, and John and I will be back with a roundup later in the week. But that's all from us for now. And here's Mike Innes with all the latest from J3 in J-Talk Short Corner.
J-Talk Extra Time. Hello everyone and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on fixtures in Round 6 of the J3 season, as well as previewing the Round 7 matches coming up this weekend. There were 5 games on Saturday the 8th of April. Iwate Gruja Morioka with the chance to consolidate their position as joint leaders at home to SC Sagamihana. Yoshige Matsubara's assistant Kim Song-yong was in charge of Iwate after Matsubara's red card at Fukushima United last week.
and Kim's team went in front in the 18th minute as Sagamihara played themselves into trouble. Niku Tanaka's hospital ball put teammate Daisuke Kato under pressure. Lee Yong-jik stole possession and centred for ex-Sagamihara player Masashi Wada to finish. On 59 minutes, the visitors' coach Kazuyuki Toda made a triple substitution, and he got instant results as two of the incoming players combined for the equaliser. Kosei Makiyama's superb first-time volley into the box, dispatched at the far post by Akira Matsuzawa, although home defender Masakazu Tashiro's failure to make an interception is something he'll no doubt be pondering. Final score, Iwate 1, Sagamihara 1. Not Guruja's best performance of the season, and they pay the price with two dropped points. For Sagamihara, a decent result from a game in which they rarely threatened. What a start to the season it's been for Liki Matsuda, who in the 23rd minute gave Ehime FC the lead at home to FC Gifu, evading Tomoya Ugajin and Yuki Wada to head in Shunsuke Motegi's pinpoint cross. And with homekeeper Kenta Tokushige keeping out a deflected Ugajin shot in first half injury time, 11 seconds after the restart, Matsuda scored again, latching on to a rather less pinpoint long ball from Motegi, getting the better of Ryu Kawakami and firing past Takuya Matsumoto from 8 yards. Gifu came back into the game via an oddly similar goal on 63 minutes, although at least the Ehime defence were trying to keep up with Ryo Kubota as he sprinted onto Matsumoto's long goal kick. Kubota was too quick for them though, and his low shot went through Tokushige's legs, but that was as far as it went for a Gifu fight back. Final score, Ehime 2, Gifu 1. 5 goals for the season now for Matsuda. Ehime, despite some enforced changes, looking more assured. Gifu have potential, but have also taken only 1 point from 3 away games. For their home match with Nana Club, there were more changes to the FC Ryukyu lineup. Recent signing Takahino Yanagi making his first start in a red shirt. Veterans Takuma Abe and Mu Kanazaki coming in as the two strikers. But Ryukyu fell behind on only 4 minutes, a turn of events of their own making. Yanagi's misdirected crossfield pass easily intercepted by Nana forward Tatsuma Sakai, who then outwitted Keiji Kageyama to score with a drive from the edge of the area. And 8 minutes before the break, all that was needed to unlock the home defence was a dinked Sotaro Yamamoto ball through the middle. Yanagi was never going to catch Hayato Asakawa, who duly beat the unprotected and unimpressed Danny Carvajal. A superb tackle on Shota Yomesaka by Takayuki Fukumura prevented matters transitioning from bad to worse for Ryukyu, whose meagre efforts at the other end peaked with an Abe half volley that went wide of the post. Final score, Ryukyu 0, Nana 2, a lightweight attack and porous defence, meaning the home side had little chance of taking anything from the game. Julian Marin Basalo's team remain unbeaten since the opening day, comfortable in 7th place. In last week's episode, I commented that Kagoshima United's trip to YSCC Yokohama was looking like a must-win fixture for the Smoking Volcanoes, whose early form has not matched pre-season hopes. Trying to remedy the matter, coach Naoto Otake selected Seigo Take as Kagoshima's main striker, a first league start for the 18-year-old. Take put a header just wide from Shunsuke Yamamoto's cross, but it was mostly YSCC who looked confident going forward, Diego Taba forcing a point-blank save from the visitors' ex-YSCC keeper Issa Oichi, and Sho Fukuda fluffing his shot when 6 yards from goal. For a must-win game then, where was Kagoshima's goal going to come from? The answer arrived 5 minutes from time in the form of substitute Jin Hanato, who strolled unmarked through the home defence to head in Atsushi Satsukawa's cross. But as the clock ticked into the 6th minute of injury time, YSCC played it long. The ball came to Fukuda, whose shot was spilled by Oichi for rookie Rento Tahara to stab in the equaliser. Final score, YSCC 1, Kagoshima 1. Hard to argue Kei Hoshikawa's team didn't deserve at least a point from this one. Otake has the squad, but the on-field performances are nowhere near good enough. For Azul Claro Numazu, their home game with Fukushima United was another fixture in which they had the possession but struggled in front of goal. In the 55th minute, Takumi Tsukui, stealing the ball from Hiroto Yukie and advancing solo towards keeper Kaito Yamamoto, only to put his shot off target, seemed to express a profound truth about Masashi Nakayama's team. With 13 minutes left, however, Azul Claro finally took the lead. Kotaro Tokunaga's corner, headed on by Terukazu Shinozaki, for pod favourite Kyota Mochi to finish. But the advantage stood for only 3 minutes. The home defence couldn't deal with Uheiji Uehata's determined run to the byline, from where he crossed for Shota Kobayashi to finish comfortably at the far post. Both sides in the closing stages had chances to win it. Fukushima, when Shoki Nagano's shot beat Hiromu Musha but struck the post. Numazu, via Tetsuya Anzai's overlapping run and shot, tipped over by Yamamoto. Final score, Numazu 1, Fukushima 1. Someday, Azul Claro may give someone a battering, but that day has not come yet. An away point for Toshihiro Hattori's limited Fukushima side constitutes success. Then, on Sunday the 9th, there were 22 goals across the 5 games. A lot to get through then, starting with new J3 leaders Katare Toyama, home winners over Tegevajaro Miyazaki. Tegevajaro keeper Rai Shimizu won't have enjoyed this one. He might have been expected to keep out both Katare goals, both direct free kicks. The first on 26 minutes from Hiroyuki Tsubokawa, his first in a Toyama shirt. The second in the 55th minute from Hiroya Sueki. Shimizu's team created far more in the way of half chances, but seldom forced a save out of his opposite number Tomoki Tagawa, Yuta Shimozawa's shot that clipped the outside of the post, the nearest the away side came to a goal. Final score, Toyama 2, Miyazaki 0. Not the most impressive display from Katare, but then it didn't have to be. For Tegevajaro, if Hiroshi Matsuda can't adjust the balance of the team, it's looking like a long, hard season. In second place, behind Toyama, are Matsumoto Yamaga, for whom Ren Komatsu netted a hat-trick in their win at Giravance Kitakyushu. The home side did take the lead on only 4 minutes. Kakeru Sakamoto's cross not dealt with by defender Masato Tokida, the ball falling to Takeya Inui, who chested it down and drove it in from the penalty spot. Could have been 2-0, but Yosuke Kamigata hit the bar with a curling shot in the 11th minute. And soon afterwards, Matsumoto pulled level, Yusuke Kikui's cross causing panic in the home defence. Takato Nonomura rising high to head it back across goal. And although Komatsu did his best to screw it wide from 2 yards out, it trickled inside the post. Trying to regain the lead, Giravance hit the woodwork again through Sakamoto's powerful low drive, but on the half hour, Yamaga went in front, Komatsu getting on the end of Ryuhei Yamamoto's hooked cross and heading in from close range. Kitakyushu won, Matsumoto 2 at half time then, but the home side went on the offensive after the restart. Yuki Okana's 20-yard shot pulling a superb save from Yamaga stand-in keeper Tomohiko Murayama. And moments later, Okada equalised, picking up on a loose pass from Sho Sumida, moving unchallenged to the edge of the area and sending a low shot into the bottom left-hand corner. Komatsu's big moment came just after the hour, putting Matsumoto back in front with his hat-trick goal, a fantastic overhead kick from 15 yards to dispatch a deflected cross from Yamamoto. Yuki Kato in the home goal had absolutely no chance, which is not the case with Yamaga's fourth, a late free kick from Kaiga Murakoshi that Kato allowed to sneak inside the post. Final score, Kitakyushu 2, Matsumoto 4. Small margins, but it's 4 without a win now for Gidavance. Yamaga, the only unbeaten team in the division. Komatsu, joint top scorer with 5. Matsumoto's rivals AC Nagano Parseiro moved 4th with their best result of the season at home to Kamatamare Sanuki. Not that Parseiro had things all their own way. Their Masaki Miyasaka Yasufumi Nishimura combo paid off for the second week running, Nagano taking an early lead when Miyasaki's outswinging corner was headed in at the near post by Nishimura. Headers from corners have also been a good route to goal for Sanuki's Yudai Okuda in recent weeks, and he almost did it again in the 9th minute, only for Nishimura to clear off the line. Late in the first half, Parseiro went close from another Miyasaka corner kick, this time met by Hiroki Yamamoto, whose header was brilliantly saved by Takuya Takahashi. The second goal was key in this one, and it was scored by Nagano in the 51st minute, Kohei Shin finding space down the left to send in a cross which bounced back off the unlucky Sanuki defender Kanta Usui for Naoki Sanda, who hooked it over the line for 2-0. Sanda scored again 14 minutes later amid strong suggestions of offside as he collected Yuta Sato's through ball, took it round Takahashi and rolled it into an empty net. Soon afterwards, Shin made it 4, poking home the loose ball after Takahashi had parried Sanda's shot. Kamatamane continued to look dangerous from set plays, Kaima Akahoshi's shot following yet another corner, bringing a great save from Taro Hamada. Final score though, Nagano 4, Senugi 0. Parseiro won the game through their incisiveness. Kamatamane so far not able to develop on their good home form. Meanwhile, FC Imabari slipped to 10th in the standings with their first defeat of the season at FC Osaka. In the early stages, the goalkeepers were on top, Cerantes tipping over a long-range effort from Osaka right-back Kazuya Mima, Tatsunari Nagai stretching to stop Marcus Vinicius' shot, and then being well-positioned to prevent Hikaru Arai's goal-bound strike. Imabari opened the scoring in the 27th minute when Taisei Takase's shot was pushed away by Nagai. Wakaba Shimoguchi turned it back across the face of goal for Yuta Mikado to prod it over the line. Osaka's equaliser in the first half stoppage time stemmed from Daigo Furukawa playing in an early ball, brilliantly dummied by Kento Nishiya, allowing Rikuto Kubo to fire his first-time shot into the bottom corner. And the hosts went in front just before the hour, Kubo's long throw headed on by Naoki Tanaka for Takumi Shimada, who held off Park Subin, turned and fired in from 8 yards. With 8 minutes left, Osaka sealed the victory. Nui Tone lashing it into the top corner from the edge of the box after Cervantes had punched away a corner kick. Final score, Osaka 3, Imabari 1. A less cautious approach paying dividends for Ryo Shigaki's Osaka, their best performance and result so far. A first defeat for Riki Takagi and Imabari, who missed Hayato Teruyama in the heart of the defence. And finally, after last week's goalless draw for Gainare Tottori, it was back to chaotic, energetic football for the side for whom, as regular listeners will recall, a 2-0 lead is rarely just a 2-0 lead. At home to Vanrare Hachinohe, Gainare's willingness to get players forward saw them go in front in the 19th minute, a 3-on-3 attack catching Vanrare out as Yu Okubo controlled the through pass, flicked it to Ryosuke Tamura, who cut inside Kodai Minoda and beat Shogo Onishi from 10 yards. Okubo was pivotal to the home side's second only 5 minutes later, clipping in across that Koki Ishii struck against the bar, the rebound falling to rookie Atsuki Tojo, who showed great technique to fire in with the outside of his right foot. The 2-0 lead was thus secured. Hachinohe may be less willing to get players forward, but when you're up against a defence as hospitable as Tottori's, sometimes that doesn't matter. And the away team pulled one back from nothing in first half injury time, Takuya Miyamoto easily getting between Jun Suzuki and Kazuki Masatani to glance a header inside the far post. On the hour, Miyamoto again got the better of Suzuki to win a high ball and feed ex-Tottori player Naoya Seno, who moved towards goal and slipped it under Koshiro Itohara for 2-2. 4 minutes later, Gainare were back in front, a direct run by the impressive Tamura enabling him to get on the end of Kentaro Shigematsu's through ball, take it beyond Onishi and finish. But the visitors tied things up once again in the 79th minute. A penalty awarded for Itohara's foul on Yuki Aida, converted by Kai Sasaki. The hosts had what looked an excellent shout for a penalty of their own waved away in stoppage time when Daisuke Inazumi appeared to pull the shoulder of Tottori livewire Hideyatsu Ozawa. Final score though, Tottori 3, Hachinohe 3. Gainare come out of the match with the best attack and second worst defence in the division. This Vanrare team have some resilience and are unbeaten since the opening day. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 6. The top 6 are Toyama with 13 points, Matsumoto with 12, Iwate, Nagano and Ehime 11, Sanuki with 10. At the other end of the table, the bottom 6 are, from 15th downwards, Osaka with 6 points, Kitakyushu, Miyazaki and Sagamihana with 5, Fukushima 4, bottom of the pile with 2, YSCC. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the round 7 fixtures over the weekend, when there are 3 games on Saturday the 15th of April. Can Nagano make it 3 wins on the bounce as they go to Sagamihana? Entertainers Tottori make the trip to the, frankly, less engaging Fukushima. With both teams in need of points, Ryukyu are at home to Kitakyushu. Then on Sunday the 16th, leaders Toyama face a difficult game at Imabari. An opportunity for 3 points for Matsumoto, who host Numazu. Nana get the chance to measure their status at home to Iwate. There's a Shikoku derby, 6th against 5th, Sanuki against Ehime. Hachinohe can make it 6 games without defeat at home to YSCC. Gifu play host to Osaka. And there's a local derby at Kagoshima, where the visitors are Miyazaki. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. all that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.